This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We were talking the other day about Valeant Pharmaceuticals, a big hedge fund favorite until it wasn't. Valeant shares are down 90% from their high, 90%, after the company's strategy of buying up drugs and then jacking up prices fell apart. But the fact is that the shareholder value model has transformed the pharmaceutical industry's model. Dan Bobkoff, who is with Business Insider, our partner in our shareholder value series, The Price of Profits, talked with a couple of pharma CEOs. Here's Dan.
This is how big pharma works today. Instead of relying on their own expensive laboratories, they buy drugs, or their makers, and focus on getting them through the FDA and onto your TV screens. Then raise prices every year, move overseas for tax advantages, and reward shareholders by buying back billions worth of shares. It wasn't always like that, says Joel Hay, a professor of pharmaceutical economics at the University of Southern California.
George Merck summed it up. The mission of Merck, and I think other pharmaceutical companies at the time, was to take care of patients and profits would follow.
And the profits will follow. Yeah, it was a big part of our culture.
Scott Lucas worked in sales at Merck & Company for more than 30 years, starting in the late 70s. Lucas and other workers describe an era of the highest ethical and moral standards. In the second half of the 20th century, Merck really was a company where shareholder value was the result, not a prime motivation. Merck ran huge productive research labs full of top-notch scientists. In charge of those labs was Roy Vagelos, who went from chief scientist to become CEO in 1984.
I'll tell you, my interest was never making money.
This is Roy Vagelos.
Even as CEO, especially as CEO.
By today's standards of management, it sounds like Vagelos did everything wrong on drug prices.
I can't understand why you would increase it beyond the consumer price index or in some measure of inflation.
When you brought this idea to the marketing folks, what did they tell you?
They said, we're leaving money on the table, of course. And I said, fine, that's what we'll do.
He bailed out of business school after just a week, which is maybe why he didn't think much about Wall Street.
I never worried about stockholders, ever. It never crossed my mind. I even refused to meet with stock analysts.
At one point, he made a last-minute decision to donate a massive quantity of a drug that cured river blindness in patients in Africa. It cost the company a lot of money.
One of the people on the next board meeting said, you know, you never called us. I said, you know, it was going so fast, it never crossed my mind. I forgot about it.
You can be cynical about this if you want. You could argue holding down drug prices helped stave off regulations, and there were a lot of PR benefits to that donation in Africa. But by not focusing on maximizing shareholder value, Merck did really well. During his era, it came out with a lot of new drugs, which led Merck's stock price to increase an average of 22% a year. In the years since, it was just 5% a year. But these days, it's just about impossible to run a company the way Vagelos ran Merck.
You have to provide a little bit of something for everybody.
Brent Saunders is the CEO of Allergan. You might know it as the maker of Botox. His company is highly respected by Wall Street and his competitors, but Saunders can't ignore investors.
So you need to have good short-term performance. You have to have sound mid-term strategy and performance. And ultimately, because of the product cycle and the way we innovate over the long term, really have conviction around your long-term strategy.
Here are some of the ways Allergan is a model of a modern pharmaceutical company, as I described a minute ago. Research, prices, taxes. It more often acquires drugs or companies, rather than go through the risky process of discovering and developing drugs from scratch. A good portion of its R&D time is spent finding new uses for existing drugs, like
Botox Cosmetic.
Stand up to chronic migraine with Botox.
Botox treats symptoms of leaking, going too often, and the strong.
And that's just the beginning. Onur Tulum is a researcher at UMass Lowell.
Their success heavily based on a drug that seems to be just like the market opportunities are almost endless. It's like milking a cow.
Here's Saunders.
Well, yeah, I do think Botox is still a pipeline and a product is what I like to call it.
And Saunders can't ignore his share price, especially now that he has one of the most famous activist investors taking a big stake in Allergan, Carl Icahn.
Yeah, look, I view Carl as just one of many important shareholders.
Icahn is leaving Saunders alone for now, but that could change. He has a history of pressuring companies to make moves and then getting out of the stock. Next, to save on taxes, Allergan is technically an Irish company, even though Saunders mostly works in New Jersey. It caused a little tension between Saunders and his father.
I was arguing that taxes aren't a question of patriotism. I said he had moved to Florida because it has zero state income tax and zero estate tax. And I said, look, you did a personal inversion.
Saunders says being based in Ireland allows Allergan to use the savings to invest more in the U.S. Okay, one more, prices. Allergan says it raises prices roughly 8% a year, far greater than inflation, but also nothing like a Valeant. Talking to Saunders, he sometimes sounds a bit like Dr. Vagelos.
When we do well for patients, when we come up with an innovation for an unmet need, when we can improve a patient's life by one of our treatments, our shareholders benefit.
Today, Merck and other big pharma companies look more like Allergan. Their own research teams haven't been so productive lately, so they increasingly buy up drugs and their makers. The old established companies are spending billions buying back their own shares. Roy Vagelos is 86 now. After he retired from Merck, he made a fortune as chairman of the biotech firm Regeneron. But asked what he thinks about newer firms that put Wall Street before patients.
Well, I don't think much of them, of course. The biopharmaceutical business is different from selling buttons and bicycles.
Wall Street, though, might not agree. In New York, I'm Dan Bobkoff from Marketplace.